السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد، الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا أبدا سرمدا، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبحسن أسمائه وعلو صفاته، لا نحصي ثناء عليه هو كما أثنى على نفسه. والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، الرسول المبين والصادق الأمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين من أزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته أجمعين، وصحابته الغر الميامين الصالحين المحجلين، وعلى من تبعهم جميعا بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. Few more moments together in reflection concerning some of the beautiful asma, names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Ar-Rahman and He is Ar-Rahim. And both of these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala derive from Ar-Rahim, derive from Ar-Rahim. And Ar-Rahim in the Arabic language is the womb of the mother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim bi'ibadihi, and He's Rahman. And sometimes this word is translated as the merciful. It is not a very accurate translation, I believe, because of this concept that it carries within its very etymological origin the concept of Rahim, the concept of a motherly love. And in the Arabic language, when we want to express the feeling of love of a mother to her child, we use the word Rahma. We don't use the word Hum. If you have noticed, those of you who are Arab of origin and who or have a good command of the Arabic language and culture. And when we see a mother lovingly, in English we would say, holding her child, one would point out at that and said, look at the love of that mother for her child. But in Arabic, one would say, look at the rahma of that mother for her child. And that was an instant when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said just that. When on one occasion, in some expedition, a mother among the captive ones, in the turmoil and sometimes the chaos of after battle and so on, she was looking for her infant, for her child, and would not find it. And imagine that scene. So Rasulullah points out to that mother, drawing the attention of his companions, and look at that mother. And so imagine this mother looking for her child and doesn't find the child for a while, and distress starts to and fear starts to be visible perhaps on her even face, and then madly looking for her child, afraid, and then suddenly she finds the child. And then imagine after that she holds the child and holds the child very dearly and starts breastfeeding the child and says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, انظروا إلى رحمة هذه الأم بولدها. Use the word رحمة. انظروا إلى رحمة هذه الأم أو المرأة بولدها. Look at the رحمة of this mother for her child. And in English and in many other languages that one would know of, one would say that which is comparable to love. Look at the love of the mother for her child. We don't translate that as mercy. We don't say look at the mercy of the mother to her child. As a matter of fact, in this culture and in other cultures, that is frowned upon. Not mercy, the way they understand mercy. Rahma, as we express it in the Quranic language, in the Islamic language, is that type of love. And that's why sometimes maybe it is correct enough to translate it as merciful love or loving mercy. It is love also in the Arabic language. So when he saw that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, after he said to them, انظروا إلى رحمة هذه الأم بولدها, and they noticed and they said, أترون هذه ملقية ولدها في النار. Then he said, do you think that this mother, that woman, would throw that child into the fire? They said, no, Ya Rasulullah. And then he said, إن الله لأرحم بعباده من هذه بولدها. إن الله لأرحم بعباده من هذه بولدها. Verily Allah has more rahmah for His ibad, for His servants, for His creatures, for His servants, than that mother for her child. Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ar-Rahman, the structure in the Arabic grammar, fa'alan versus Ar-Rahim fa'il, both, yes, are means of emphasis, صيغ مبالغة, they are hyperbole in language, if you will. Yet Ar-Rahman is a characteristic that defines something that is inherent in the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, He owns rahmah. And both being Rahman and Rahim also invoke and imply that rahmah is constant, is a constant, inseparable, continuous attribute of His subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just occasional or sometimes or not all the time. And when we connect that to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My rahmah has enveloped everything, not everyone only, but everything. That love, that loving mercy, or that merciful love, or that love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows and expresses towards anything and everything of His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that it is by the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the world still exists and the world still evolves and the world still is in a state of existence. And if it were not the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially on earth, and for the crimes of human beings that they commit against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against each other, there would be nothing left on the face of earth. Allah tells us, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. وفي آية أخرى ولو آخذ الله الناس بما كسبوا ما ترك على ظهرها من دابة. And both those ayat have basically the same meaning, that were it for Allah to hold accountable man for what they do, he would leave non-living on earth. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his rahmah. وَإِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَسْبِقُ غَضَبِي, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi, verily my rahmah, my merciful love, my loving mercy if you will, this type of wombly love, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَسْبِقُ غَضَبِي, precede my anger. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, precede my anger. And thus Rahman is the one who owns Rahman. But he is not only Rahman, he is Rahim. He dispenses of Rahman, because one may own something but not give of it. So he's not just Rahman, not just astaghfirullah. He's not human words. His sifa is not, that's adverb that I want to avoid, only. He's not only Rahman, he's not only Rahman, he is Rahim. See, I don't want to say only, because if he, Rahman is enough, it's only. Na'am? In addition, Allah yajazik khair. Allah yahfazak, fatah Allah alayk. In addition to being Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Rahim. So he added to his ownership of Rahma subhanahu wa ta'ala, he dispenses of Rahma, he gives Rahma. Unlike many of his creatures, and the creatures when they have something of the treasures of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, it doesn't mean that they dispense of them, it doesn't mean that they give of that, that they share of that. Says Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي إِذًا لَأَبْسَكْتُمْ خَشْيَةَ الْإِنْفَاقِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَطُورًا. Says Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي. If you, human beings, you and jinns, you owned the treasures of the rahmah of my Lord, you would hold خشيت الإنفاق, out of fear from spending and exhaustion. قل لو أنتم تملكون خزائن رحمة ربي إذن لأمسكتم خشية الإنفاق وكان الإنسان قطورا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman and Rahim subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, and that to be emphasized, he began his revelation, he began his book, he began his wahi with Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah is, the first thing we know about Allah as believers and as faithful people, as Muslims, and we ought to as human beings, the first thing is Allah is Rahman Ar-Rahim. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And you can see that, subhanAllah, even in the structure of the language, you see that in the order of the Quran, in this Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, what he told us in that hadith Qudsi, وَإِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَسْبِقُ غَضَبِي. My rahmah precedes my anger. And Allah tells us later in the Quran about his attributes of power and might and punishment, but he first spoke to us about his rahmah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that 114 times of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is in the Quran. And when Surah At-Tawbah did not begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to make 114 times Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as the number of surahs that exist in the Quran, it would have been 113. But in Surah An-Naml, inside of it, that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is mentioned as the content of the letter that Ismail, that Sulaiman alayhi salam sends to the Queen of Sheba. 114 times as many as the numbers of the surahs is Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. And thus, what overwhelms us and should always, as believers, yes, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we must. But the mu'min never despairs from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never. It is haram, actually. It is haram. It is forbidden to despair from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ وَالْفَاسِقُونَ وَالْخَاسِرُونَ and so on. In different ayat with these different shades. Only the losers, the oppressors, the transgressors, the kuffar would allow themselves to lose rahmah, to lose hope, I'm sorry, in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh, you, my servants, who have overwhelmed themselves with wrong sins, do not despair from my rahmah, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rahmanun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rahim. He owns rahmah. And he dispenses of rahmah. And all the rahmah, and all the expressions of rahmah, of love and merciful love and mercy and compassion and love, all of those together expressed by all the creatures towards one another, individually and collectively, including the love of the mother to her child and all mothers of the world to their children, including all the animal mothers towards their own babies, kids. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that even when, you know, yes, the rahmah of the animal towards the baby. And one time I saw this image, and subhanAllah, that came exactly to my mind. An elephant mother. This huge creature. And then the baby elephant is underneath on the way. Baby elephant is still a baby elephant. Okay, it may weigh 50 pounds or 100 pounds. But that's like a feather compared to the weight of its own mother. And subhanAllah, and the mother is walking, and had it set her normal step, she, the mother, would step on the baby. So she lifts the baby gently, just above, gently, this huge thing, just gently above it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that all the compassion and the love and the mercy expressed by all the human, but not all human beings, all beings, all of that is 1% of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, 100%, 100 parts of his rahmah, 100%, He subhanahu wa ta'ala distributed that 1% amongst all the creation, how they express rahmah towards one another and towards others in the universe. And he kept, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 99% of that rahmah for the day of judgment for his ibad. This is the source of, for the mu'min, the source of hope. This is the source of hope. This is the source of hope for a mu'min. And he taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when we die, when we are dying, or a person that subhanAllah is terminally ill, quote unquote, and only Allah knows who goes at any time, how many times people thought this one is terminally ill and they died before them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Nevertheless, if one were to be in such a state or believes to be in such a state, that he or she should always have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a mu'min, as a believer, always have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always. And that is the source of raja for the mu'min, for the person who struggles and exerts himself or herself, alhamdulillah, to live in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because after all, the other attributes of Allah that tell us about His perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about His infiniteness, about His power, about His holiness, and therefore any stain of our dhamb is so ugly and so terrible in front of this perfection, this infinite perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His infinite knowledge. That is the source of fear. His infinite justice. When we know that, that's the source of fear. But the source of raja, the source of hope, is His rahmah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many other of His attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala that are indeed the source of raja, the source of hope for the abd, man and woman. اللهم تغمدنا برحمتك يا رب. اللهم تغمدنا برحمتك يا رب. يا الله, envelop us, cover us in the mantle of your rahmah in this dunya and in akhirah. بعزتك وبكرمك وبجودك يا أرحم الراحمين يا بر يا رحيم. And when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should always invoke Him by, of course, many, many of His names and attributes, and depending on the situation. So if one is afraid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has done wrong and is in tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one calls upon Allah with His names of rahmah. You don't turn to Allah and say, Ya Allah, Ya Jabbar, Ya Qahar, forgive me. You know, after I have done so much wrong, and I say, Oh, you mighty one. Oh, you most terrible in punishment, forgive me. You know, it's not consistent. I should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His rahmah. With His rahmah. Ya Rahim. Ya Rahman. Ya Barru. Ya Rahim. Allah tells us in the Quran, in Surah At-Tur. And this ayah is related on one occasion that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in her duha salah, in the morning, not the obligatory salah, but in the duha, the nafila, the sunnah of duha, as she stood, and one of her students, as he came visit her, and he saw her in salah, we waited, and she was still in one that rak'ah, reading in salah, and he went and to the souq and came back, and he found her still there, now tears overwhelming her face, radiallahu ta'ala anha alayhi salam, and she was repeating one ayah, just one ayah, repeating that ayah again and again and again, and weeping, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I just want the ayah before that. The ayah says, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ إِنَّا كُنَّا نَدْعُوهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. La ilaha illallah. أين إنا كنا ندعوه من قبل إنه هو البر الرحيم. إنا كنا ندعوه من قبل إنه هو البر الرحيم. After this ayah that Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها was reciting, فمن الله علينا, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى graced us with forgiveness and pardon from him. فمن الله علينا ووقانا عذاب السموم, and protected us from the freezing wind of hell. She kept repeating that and weeping, عليه السلام ورضي الله تعالى عنها. And Allah after that said, إنهم كانوا يدعوه إنهم إنا كنا ندعوه من قبل إنه هو البر الرحيم. We verily used to call upon our Lord before that we were in life. He was البر الرحيم. يا بر يا رحيم, يا بر يا رحيم, يا بر يا رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is الأول والآخر. Just a few brief reflections on الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. هو الأول, as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in one text, هو الأول لا شيء قبله, وهو الآخر لا شيء بعده, وهو الظاهر لا شيء فوقه, وهو الباطن ولا شيء دونه. Said he صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah is the الأول, the first, the first. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says the first, and there is nothing after him. Well, usually there is first, okay, first, but there is second and third and fourth and fourth. But it says, no, I'm sorry, that's al-akhir. Anyways, he is the first and there is nothing before him. I apologize. وَالْأَوَّلُ لَا شَيْءَ قَبْلَ, he is the first and there is nothing before him. Nothing. Including what? Time. Because this will tell us that actually this is telling us about his timelessness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you take them both, هو الأول لا شيء قبله, he is the first and there is nothing before him, and he is the last and there is nothing after him. And he is the first and the last. That is impossible to be the first and the last, except if you're not in time. Except if you're not in time, you're not subject to time. And also he's the first and nothing before him, and the last and nothing after him. If you combine them, the two, the first and the last, and nothing before him and nothing after him. And even as first, there is nothing after him, because he's last and nothing after him. And he's last and nothing before him. I'm sorry, and he's first and nothing before him. And nothing before him, but he's last. And if you reflect on this, you can see that the only way to put it together is in timelessness. In timelessness. هو الأول لا شيء قبله, هو الآخر لا شيء بعده, هو الظاهر. And he is الظاهر. Literally الظاهر means that which is apparent and manifest and perceptible and seeable. الظاهر, outward, external. الظاهر, there is nothing above him. And he's also at the same time, again time, is al-batin, the innermost, nothing below him. And subhanallah, when we reflect on this, first of all, at the level of you know, the galactic and the big and the huge. You know, the bigger the thing, the more zahir it is, correct? And the more obvious and manifest and apparent it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is nothing above, more zahir than He is. SubhanAllah. There's nothing more zahir than He is. Allahu Akbar. There's nothing more zahir than He is. Al-zahir. But how come we don't see Him? Because we're veiled. He's available, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's Al-Qarib. I will connect with Al-Qarib. The near. The one who is near. He's Qarib. Very Qarib. There is nothing as Qarib as He is. There's nothing as near as He is to us. To the creation. There's nothing as Qarib as He is. But why don't we experience Him, some of us? And why don't we perceive Him all? Because we're veiled, because we're too concerned and busy with other things to look at. If something is here and you're busy looking at something else, will you see it? No. Unless you turn towards it, then you will see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and His Rasul that He's nearer to us than that vein. Jugular vein. وَهُوَ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. But our turning away from Him, and not in the physical sense, تَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ, that is the focus of our hearts and our attachments and our minds and our pursuits, veil us from experiencing Him. And He is there, قَرِيب, very قَرِيب. And when we begin disengaging ourselves from those attachments, and when we will begin to turn the radar of the eyes of our heart towards Him, then shoot, He's there. You see Him. Not in any physical sense. تَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ عُلُوًّا كَبِيرًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اعلموا أنكم لن ترون ربكم حتى تموتوا. اعلموا أنكم لن تروا ربكم, لن تروا ربكم حتى تموتوا. Know that you will not see your God, your Lord, until you die. Until one dies and goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the resurrection day and enters Jannah, will experience Allah in that dimension, will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at this inner meaning of this text. Allah is qareeb, and unless we rid ourselves of all the veils, we will not experience Allah in this dunya. We won't be closest to Him in this life with our hearts. So He says, you will not see your Lord until you die. When I die from my hawa, when I die from my nafs, when I die from observing and attaching myself to the creation, when I die from my nafs, away from my nafs, when I die away from the creation, then my heart sees its creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zahir, and He is al-batin, the innermost. And subhanAllah, you think sometimes in so many things, two ways. Reflection leads to these two observations sometimes. As a human being, your innermost feeling, your innermost feelings that you hide and you harbor, Allah is al-baqin. He's the most innermost. He is there. He knows. He's al-baqin. There is nothing as batin or more batin. لا وليس دونه شيء. الباطن ولا شيء دونه. There is nothing beyond his being batin subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he is the ultimate innermost, and he is the ultimate outermost, and the ultimate innermost. Thus my feelings, hidden things inside of us, as we said earlier anyways, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. He is batin with us. And then you think of, when you study again the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the physical world, and the world of the quantum world, and the world of the quantum world is the world of the very, very small, and the laws are very not only the quantum world, but if you go beyond that to the يعني to the world of and even quantum relativity. And at that world, subhanAllah ta'ala, he's most batin. The laws that we discover at that very batin level, and the word and Allah is al batin, there is nothing more batin than he is. The laws of the batin, they are his subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has sight of them, and he has knowledge of them subhanahu wa ta'ala. السر عنده علانية. السر عنده علانية. So when I think of al-batin, I think of me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in no anthropomorphic way, والعياذ بالله, is inside everything with his ilm, with his knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why also it is said, I think it's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are, yes, many hadith that do indicate that, and we shall share some of them perhaps in the next two sessions, that you may find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, you know, the universes, all of them, the cosmos and all time and space and the hidden dimensions, all of them cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot encompass لا تسعوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. السماوات والأرض, and so none will encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of a mu'min. But you can find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the qalb of a mu'min, in the sense that you are trying to understand. الباطن سبحانه وتعالى ليس دونه شيء. الظاهر سبحانه وتعالى ليس فوقه شيء. That connects with this concept of الباطن and some of its implications is Allah is Latif. You know Latif? Allah is Latif. You know, we say the angels are latif creatures versus thick creatures. There's something latif versus something dense. You know, latif versus the opposite of it is dense. You know, fully transparent and is not stopped by anything, penetrates anything. You know, and Allah gives us an insight in some of His creation. If we know that neutrinos, you know neutrinos? Mu. They are particles, and they are called neutrinos. And these are like ghostly particles. They can go through any matter. They can go through lead, however thick it is, and thickness upon thickness, and years of light years of thickness, neutrinos go through all of that because they're so infinitesimal. They go through anything that is material, however thick it is. And those are material particles, but they are very like the photons. They are just very strange and they're ghostly like particles. Some would, you know, use this adjective to describe them. That's an example of Latif. The Malaika are Latif creatures. That's why, subhanAllah, we cannot just comprehend them at the level of four dimensions of time and space, and it has to be this shape and that shape and etc. And the idea of being intrigued at the concept that the Malaika can do things and be in things and in ways that are impossible for us. We remember, we already had an example of that, right? Two-dimensional creatures versus three-dimensional creatures. Okay? Three-dimensional creatures can do relative to the two-dimensional creatures that which is impossible. Miracles. Yeah? You can go inside the heart of a two-dimensional creature without cutting the heart of a two-dimensional creature. You can do surgery to a two-dimensional creature if you're a three-dimensional creature without any cuts. Correct? You just come from the top and take the heart and do the heart and put back the heart. SubhanAllah, what does this mean? Malaika are not four-dimensional creatures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a creature, and certainly not any dimensional. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart was, and so on, was taken out and things done to it, and it was returned. And the malaika, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that about what happened to him when he was young. And even after that, before al-Isra al-Mi'raj, that operation took place. And his heart was removed and cleansed and so on and put back. Nothing happened. Those who disbelieved, woe on them. Those who have now a plausible argument, what we call a plausible argument, would say, SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah that I believed without having to know this. Right? That's a plausible argument. That's a plausibility argument, we call. Right? Like a three-dimensional creature, removing the heart of a two-dimensional creature, that's mathematics. And then return it without. And to the two-dimensional creature, it is a miracle. It's impossible. And then angel can do that. And what Allah does, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is latif, has access, in other words, again, because I connect this to al-batin, is latif has access to any most hidden and most innermost of everything and anything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Latif. That's what, you know, we should keep in mind. With latif, and also not only the sense of gentleness, not only the sense of gentleness in that which is latif. Allahumma al-tuf bina. We say, Allahumma al-tuf bina. Oh Allah, grant us your lutf, for you are latif. And that is that sense of, you know, transparent gentleness. I, you know, imagine a breeze, a gentleness of a breeze. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his lutf. But like the breeze can penetrate everywhere. وَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. May Allah be exalted from any analogy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like, not like, astaghfirullah. And in that sense we understand the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being latif. Like that breeze having access to everything and anything you can imagine, but with the gentleness of a breeze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is latif. الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن, and he's latif. Please allow me for one more, because this is also important for something I want to remind myself of in you, which is very important. He's al-qabid wal-basit. He's al-rafi' wal-khafid, or al-khafid wal-rafi'. He is subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-qabid is the one who holds, the one who restrains. And al-basit is the one who expands and the one who gives generously. And one, the one who spreads.
And he's qabid in every also, of course, sense of that term. Some of that is he is the source of withholding, as he is the source of giving. Al-Bast, and Al-Bast is giving generously. He's the source of withholding and he's the source of giving. In other words, when we internalize this sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, and the sifa also of khafd and rafa, that everything else we receive, what, that we are given, is bust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we receive is we receive through instruments and means. So when I am given, my qalb should see whom giving? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should not see the person or the means giving. I should see Allah giving. If something is withheld from me by someone, and it's always by someone or something, my qalb should see whom withholding? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is al-qabil wal-basat. Al-qabid wal-basit also in the sense of restraining and constraining and expanding. Al-qabid wal-basit of the heart. The heart is in a state of qabid and the heart is in a state of bast. Subhanallah. The heart is in a state of qabid and all the different ways by which the heart is in qabid, distress and anxiety and agony and fear and so on. All of that. Who is Al-Qabid? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Al-Basit? And who expands the hearts and the feelings, the different feelings of expansion of the heart? Love and hope and joy and contentment and peace and security. Who is the source of all of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should not see the instruments and the means as being the source. My qalb should see Allah as the source. And yes, and my mind and my tongue thanks the person who gives me. Jazakallahu khairan. Or forgives and shows sabr in the face of withholding. But my qalb sees the owner. I should not be so happy with the one who gives me that overwhelms my heart and that's it. It's like someone sends you a gift, sovereign sends you a gift, and you're looking at this gift and you're saying, "You gift, thank you, you gift." And you're enjoying, and we're enjoying the gift, and we almost worship the gift. And we forget the owner, the sovereign who sent the gift to me. Or rather, a sovereign sends me a gift, let's say, another example, through his courier, you know, through his, you know, I don't know why this word came to my mouth. Maybe Ottawa, huh? This Quebec stuff. He sends you that gift through, come on, help me, through his messenger, courier. And then, subhanAllah, then you go to that servant whom the sovereign sent, and you start looking at that servant and impressed with that servant, and besides the gift, and the servant becomes an object of worship. The servant becomes everything to you. And you forget the owner. Or like, and forgive me, this is our ulama, give this is a beautiful one of the ulama, gives this beautiful example. When we see with our hearts the instruments rather than seeing the owner, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In qabd and in bast, in giving and in holding, in exalting and in lowering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalts, raises and lowers and debases. So if something bad happens to me, or I'm debased or humiliated, or a nation is then we see with our hearts and minds the instruments. We don't see the real cause. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gives this example, is he said, you know, the dog, people don't do that to dogs usually here, because dogs are very special. But in some other environments where they compete with dogs also, you know, dogs sometimes, you know, is not so well received. So the dog comes to bark at you and wants to, you know, to bite you. So a person scared picks a stone and throws it at the dog. Shouldn't do that. Should have rahmah. But people do that. So throws the rock at the dog. What does the dog do? You know what the dog does? See, you have never experienced that, right? You have never seen that. Go live in the countryside for a while, real countryside of the real remaining world. So what the dog does, the dog runs after the stone, after the rock, and starts biting at the rock. It's true. Forgetting who really threw the stone. That's why that is used, that instinct in the dog is used, and you throw the frisbee and the dog goes, get the frisbee for you. But actually it's instinct of being attacked by something and he goes at it, rather than the one who really, really threw the rock at him. So when we react to that which befalls us of khafz and of qabl, when we react to it by simply seeing and observing and being concerned and looking only at that which has befallen us, the means, we are like, in a sense, that dog who runs after the stone and doesn't see the real cause behind that. For example, connecting that to what we said first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unleashed His forces because of our dhunub. So the qalb sees Allah. Even though that external act may be illegal and repulsive and will go to court, that's part of ubudiyya, that's part of sa'i. But the qalb, I'm speaking of the qalb of the mu'min, sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand and cures himself or herself sometimes by only tawbah and istighfar and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-qabid, Allah is al-basir, Allah is al-rasi', Allah is al-khafid subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-mu'izz, Allah is al-muzil, as he says. It is he who exalts and dignifies, and it is he who humiliates and debases subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the source of that. Though that may happen to us, to me, that may happen to me through a means. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets in this universe laws of what we call cause and effect. But the mu'min does not see the law of the cause and effect as itself without creator and without control by the creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creator of the very cause and effect, of the cause and of the effect, and of the relationship between them. Al-Qabid al-Basit al-Khafid al-Rafi' al-Mu'izz al-Mudhil. And this way helps me gradually do what? Clear my heart. Detach my heart from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I know these things, when I focus on them, when I work at them, this is how I am at least intellectually helped to begin to liberate myself and truly free myself. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم إن قلت صوابا فمن الله وحده وإن قلت غير ذلك فمن نفسي ومن جهلي ومن الشيطان أعوذ بالله أن أذكر به وأنساه. please be reminded that anything correct and proper that I said is from Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Anything improper or incorrect, it is my own ignorance, my nafs, and the impact of shaitan upon that nafs. I seek refuge in Allah that I remind you of Him, and yet myself forget Him. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahumma wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad, an-Nabiyyil Ummi, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.